This next segment we've been looking forward to doing for a while now. We were originally going to book this gentleman over the summer. We're going to get him booked in during the All-Star break. He is truly a man of his word. He was unable to make it the Wednesday night of the All-Star break there. Girlfriend ended up getting Lady Gaga tickets, and he said, "Hey, look,
Lady Gaga."
Yeah, oh, he said, "Hey, off season, I'm on with you, whatever." Hey, he's a man of his word.
Shelly, say it ain't true, Lady Gaga.
We welcome Shelly Duncan. Shelly, how you doing tonight, my man?
I'm too well.
How was the Monsters Ball? Was it pretty good?
Shelly, you there? I think we lost him.
Okay. Probably not.
Yeah, his call dropped. That's him calling us back. Hold on here.
All righty. We got a backup number. We'll get him back. Either at or he didn't want to hear about Lady Gaga.
All right, Shelly, are you with us now to talk about Lady Gaga?
Yeah,
all right.
I'm with you. All
right. What happened? You got to tell us this story about Lady Gaga.
Yeah. Well, fiance loves Lady Gaga, and, tickets came available, and we wanted to go see a good show. Me and Half went. Half's wife, Amy, big fan too, and we got dragged to the show. Ended up having a great time. She puts on a good show, very entertaining. It was fun.
All right.
It could have been worse. Men get dragged into worse things. It generally involves getting sent down a certain aisle in the shopping mart, but we won't go there. But
careful, Rick. Look who's sitting here tonight.
Exactly.
Careful.
Exactly. But great to have you on, Shelly. And coincidentally, again, you're playing for the team in our flagship market of Cleveland here with the Indians. You spent your first year with the Tribe this year and really got your first sustained burst of playing time in a couple of years here with the Tribe. So talk about what the first year was like for you with the Indians.
It was a lot of fun. It was a completely different atmosphere than what I was used to in New York. You come over here and right off the bat in spring training, you recognize how young everybody is. And, when I say young, I don't necessarily just, speak about age. You speak about, experience and reputation in the big leagues. You have guys like Half and Grady and Kerry Wood and Westbrook who are really established, but there's this, a handful of youth on this team, people that are just coming up or, haven't missed so much time in the big leagues, that have a significant presence on the team. And so it was a very different atmosphere. But being a part of it, I started to feel, very much fit in right away. I developed a lot of really good relationships this summer, had a lot of fun, and, I had a great time playing up in the big leagues. It was the most playing time I've had. A lot of injuries hurt the team this year. But the one thing I really noticed is how good, the potential is. There's a lot of great players on this team and up and down the whole organization. So, I'm very happy to be a part of it right now.
You came in and you really delivered some pop to the lineup this year and the opportunities that you got. And again, it was more than you were able to get in terms of opportunity with the Yankees. One of the things that just really strikes me in looking at your career and looking at the trajectory of it was you were showing a lot of power coming through the system with the Yankees, and yet it was a very deliberate step-by-step trajectory as far as, going from Tampa and then eventually to Trenton and all the way up the line there to Scranton, Wilkes-Barre. And then culminating with being able to make your debut in 2007. Compare and contrast that where, in New York, the homegrown guys, it seems like, have got to really work their way up on that kind of a basis because of all the guys that are in front of them versus with a team like the Indians, you really don't have that type of roadblock on a consistent basis.
I think the attitude that New York has, this is just speaking from, a player's perspective, but I think an attitude that New York has is that when you come up through the minor leagues, they teach you how to win. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. So they try to create an atmosphere with every person, and they try to make sure you showed success at every single level. And what they want before you get called up to the big leagues is to be ready to perform on day one in the big leagues. It doesn't really seem like there's much time for players to get their feet wet or to establish themselves. There's, you know, there's no excuse for being a young guy. They win every single day. There's no rebuilding here in New York. So when they use their minor league players, it's, we want you ready to play day one. So they're real methodical on their preparation for these players and, you know, the time they spend in the minor leagues and everything. And I think that's the difference in the two systems.
Well, how does that mindset benefit you now being in a situation you're in where, you know, frankly, if you go out there next year, I mean, you have a good way of potential to be able to force your way into the lineup, whether it be first base, left field, DH. Yeah, you have a chance to get regular at bats out there if you go out and prove it. You don't have anybody who's necessarily holding you back. How does that mindset that you got coming up the line work for you in this situation?
Like I was saying, the winning part. You know, fortunately, I being part of the major league team, you know, for the short time, you really get a taste of how hard it is to win and what you need to do. You know, even with the players they have in New York, they truly understand that it's difficult to win games and the preparation is as tough as can be. So personally, I'm going to do whatever I can to, help, you know, put myself in a position where Manny can use me however he wants, and hopefully it's a lot. But the main thing is I want to be able to help the team win ball games, and I'm going to bring that attitude that I learned with New York to the clubhouse every single day. And I'm going to bring that intensity on the field, and I'm going to play that way. Hopefully it spreads. There's a lot of guys this year that I really saw develop that attitude, really bear down. And Chu has that attitude. Cabrera has that attitude. And, you know, I think next year when this whole team, when we come together in spring training and, you know, we really see the puzzle piecing together, you'll really see a fire, you know, get lit underneath us. And, you know, it'll be like that old saying, oh, everything's coming together. And it really will. And then you'll see this attitude really come out of us. And, you know, so it should be fun.
Shelly, can you understand how Indians fans right now are pretty down? I'm not even going to say down on just the Indians, down on Cleveland sports in general with what happened with LeBron James in July and the Cleveland Browns year in and year out of ineptitude. And then we see guys playing in the World Series. Cliff Lee, who is 2 years removed from the Cleveland Indians organization, And the guy's an all-star caliber pitcher, and he's gonna cash in and make millions upon millions of dollars because he's that good. And he was a Cleveland Indian, and how a lot of fans think he should still be a Cleveland Indian. And the same with CC Sabathia. I mean, does that go in the back of your mind? It's like, you know what? Are we ever going to be able to keep the guys together here and really build something like they did back in the mid to late 90s?
You think about that stuff and you see that, but the pieces need to come together for the whole team. You know, it's hard to build something that happened in the 90s with only one or two guys. What happened in the 90s with the Indians is they had all, like, a big group of guys come up together. You know, it wasn't just one or two guys. It was a lot of people together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this day and age, you see us in a lot of teams in baseball. That's what their formula for success is, trying to get a bunch of people, a core group, coming up together so they can put together more than one good year.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of see that with this team. And, you know, I think our front office has done a great job, and I do feel for, you know, all the fans in Cleveland for all this, you know, the lack of championships that the sports teams in Cleveland have produced. But in my mind, I see a good future with our ball club, and you know, a lot of it sometimes has to do with luck, and you know, a lot of it has to do with attitude, and you know, we should, like, if we all come together, like this whole plan is, and everything works out, you know, it should be good, not just for 1 year, but, you know, a long time. And, you know, when fans start coming out to the ballpark and, you know, money starts coming in, then you can keep the players. And, it's a lot of things have to go right for that to happen.
Right.
Yeah, the margin of error is pretty slim on that. You look at the history of Cleveland sports and decisions made along the way. The reason that the miseries ensued has been from bad decisions made. I could hold up as an example that I remember from being a little kid. You are actually the son of one of the greatest pitching coaches of all time, Dave Duncan. Of course, we let him get away, pitching coach from 79-81.
Yeah, of course.
Great move, Tribe.
Yeah.
But,
now we're making up for it. We got Shelly here with us.
Exactly.
So we're making up for it.
But something I'm wondering about, as your dad made his way along the line here, this is a question actually our producer, the New York Bureau, came up with, that he was there for that very notorious era. Ironically, they weren't as much known for the pitching as they were the hitting, although they really had some great arms then. The A's from 86 to 95. Do you have any particular memories of that clubhouse and really some of the outsized personalities they used to have back in the day there?
Oh, I have tons. I take that era. That was an era where I was, 7 to 15 years old, and like right around the time when baseball started becoming important in my life, that's the clubhouse I was raised in. So a lot of my memories that have shaped me come from those teams. One of the good ones I could tell you is I remember being a little kid, and I used to be able to sit in Tony La Russa's office after games when the coaching staff would be there, and Sandy Alderson was a GM, he'd be there. And I remember one day Sandy Alderson starts talking about being able to get Ricky Henderson back to the team. This was in 89. And that was one of these fond memories. The next thing you know, they make that big trade, and Ricky comes back to the A's and does what he does. And, it seems like those are the guys that taught me how to play the game right. Mark McGuire is a big influence on me. Terry Steinbach, Carney Lansford, Walt Weiss, Mike Bordick, watching Dave Henderson, Jose Canseco. All those guys are a big influence on the way me and my brother play the game. So I have a lot of memories. I could write a book.
Oh boy, I'm glad Steve asked me to ask you that question. Yeah, that really elicited some memories. Those are some tremendous names.
That's old school, man. That's a list right there. If those are the people that are influencing you as a baseball player, mm-hmm. you're going to have a long and successful career for sure.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Those are some great names. Yeah, and you mentioned, of course, your brother Chris, who's had an excellent career as well, and who has definitely helped me out in the fantasy realm, particularly when he was back with St. Louis. I don't mind mentioning. But I will tell you, too, that this has been one of my pet themes over the course of doing the show here, is just specialists in different sports here. I believe that position great coordinators in football, pitching coaches like Leo Mazzoni and your dad, I really think that those guys are Hall of Famers. I look forward to the day when they're recognized as such, when we're not just limiting it to the managerial realm.
I agree with you.
Your dad has just had such a track record with so many guys and really been able to salvage so many careers. I want to ask you another question here. We had a couple weeks ago on the show, by the way, strange commonality with the show. Another one-time Indians first baseman, now with MLB Network, Sean Casey, he was on. We were talking a little bit about the mechanics of it. He was specifically evaluating Matt Wieters and about having a long swing and something that he needs to do in order to improve. I'm wondering what the trade-off is. And, again, I've never played baseball above the sandlot level, so anything you've got to say would probably be a great education to me and to anybody else. For somebody like you who's shown tremendous power and maybe had something of a trade-off there with the batting average, what are some of the things as you're trying to improve? I mean, a lot of people are just going to say, shorten the swing, but I imagine there's got to be some trade-offs there. It can't be just as easy as people are thinking.
Yeah, you're right. The thing about hitting is that you could change your swing about 50 different ways. There's a handful of philosophies people have. Different hitting coaches on different teams believe in different things, and the thing is different things work for different people. Some people have long arms, some people have shorter arms, some people have quick hips, some people have quick hands, and you learn to use your tools that you have to the best of your ability. But the one thing is, you got to figure out what your best tools are, or what will make your swing work. And I've watched Matt Wieters swing. You know, I understand where Sean's coming from, because you know, one of the things that big guys have a hard time with is, you know, keeping the swing short enough and keeping those hands close to the body. You know, it's really hard. You know, it's easy to get a lot of power when you just try to, you know, get your arms extended, but you do give up some batting average. Those good power hitters that have a high batting average are the ones that are strong in the hands, and they keep their hands close to their body, and they keep the same swing, you know, all the time. And that's one thing I've been really starting to believe in, is it doesn't matter really what your swing is. It's, are you able to repeat it over and over and over and over and over and over? When you do that, you know where the barrel is, you know where the bat is, and you have a higher chance of putting it on the ball. It's guys who have a lot of movement in their swing that find a lot of inconsistency. And sometimes to try to generate more bat speed, you try to add more movement to your swing. And, you know, that will create some inconsistency right there. And you look at Mark Teixeira, he doesn't have the shortest swing by all means, but he repeats it over and over and over and over, and it ends up being a good swing. I mean, that guy's got a long swing, but it's a good swing because he repeats it over so many times. And I think that's the most important thing. But the number one thing before you do that is to figure out what the best swing for you is. And Wieters is young. He's going to find that. He's a really talented guy. And I'm still going through that.
Well, that, you know what? That's good advice, man. I mean, that's really good stuff there. That's one of those things, you know. Hey, down the line when you're ready to hang up the spike several years from now, maybe you got a future as a batting coach. I mean, if Rob Deere can do it, you know, look at the hole in the swing that guy had. You know? So you really
break. Rob Deere. He was my favorite name back in the day. He's the guy hit home runs and strikes out a lot and hits 200.
Rob,
I love it.
Rob Deere batting coach is sort of like, you know, Bill Clinton chastity coach. You know, I just, when I heard that that guy was a batting coach, I absolutely couldn't believe it. But, Shelly, it's been a pleasure having you on here tonight. We always like to give our guests a chance to plug anything at the end of the show. So if there's anything that the audience should know about, please take it away.
Tonight, I'm rooting for the Rangers. Ian Kinsler, teammate of mine in high school in 1998, and if Rangers win World Series, that'll be four players from my 98 high school team that have World Series rings, and I'm really rooting for him.
Wow, yeah, and I'd seen that on your Wikipedia page about Kinsler. Yeah, one of the best second basemen in the league. A little bit of an off year statistically, but boy, he's been picking it up in October. He's really been getting it going. He looks like himself. That's a huge edge for Texas if that guy looks like the Ian Kinsler we all know.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's going to be something. All right. Well, hey, Shelly, it's been tremendous having you on the show. You were a great guest. We'd love to do it again sometime. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much.
Can't thank you enough. All right. Shelly Duncan, everybody, from the Cleveland Indians.
I hope I didn't put him on the spot when I said, why should we believe you? I mean, come on. I mean, I've been seeing mediocrity out of this franchise for almost a decade now.
He gave as good of an answer on that as he could give. I mean, yeah. he wants a job next year.
Yeah, I didn't want to put the guy on the spot, but let's keep it real, please.
Yeah.
I think he
answered that as well as he could, in a way to not get himself thrown off the 40-man roster. But he was really good. I mean, what a strong guest. Props to the New York Bureau.
Yeah, we won't ask him to turn in his man card. Yeah. We're going to see Lady Gaga. You know, if that's what the wife wants to see.
Yeah.
If wifey wants it, wifey gets it. That's
exactly, yeah.
That's the rule.
Yeah. It beats getting sent down that aisle. All right.